Help us, Jesus, to live your risen life, to show your joy in the world, and to understand what we could truly be. In your name, amen. Well, I've got a carefully prepared long sermon this morning on St. Peter and his theological exposition of the passage from Acts, but I've decided to completely abandon that and to fly without a seatbelt this morning and to just speak to you about something that happened on the way to church. Because every Sunday morning I get in the car and I have a rule that I pray for the people I trained with. There were the six men, six women, all of us on the course together. And every Sunday morning I run through them and I visualize them in their parishes. And I pray for their partners and their kids. And if I know that one of them is depressed or one of them's overworked or one of them's ill, then I think about that. Every Sunday morning, don't turn the car radio on, pray for my peer group. And very lovely they are. Jenny Kappelman, Sam's wife, was one of them. And I think of them. But this morning, I laughed out loud because I am so bad at praying. So bad at praying. I got in the car and I started to think about David, whose wife is very poorly. And then I began to wonder whether Boeuf Bourguignon would be better for my daughter's 18th birthday party dinner next week. And then as I drove up Brick Hill Drive, I noticed that Charlie'd had a pothole mended and thought, gosh, he's working hard. And I began to realise that I am so bad at praying. And does this ring any bells with you? No, you're all crack prayers. I know you are. No, I know you are. And it just seems to me that it's very, very hard to do the one thing that's at the heart of what we are as Christians, which is to focus our minds on God, to follow his commandment to read scriptures, and to learn from it and meditate upon it. In this congregation, And at Putney, there are people who I think of the kind of A-team of prayers. They are people who often say to me, oh, I can't do much nowadays. I can't do much. I just sit here. I can't get out and I can't deliver notices and I don't even do the flowers anymore and I haven't got the energy to do the tea or I'm terribly busy. But those people, some of them, although they think they have very little to do towards the church community, are absolutely vital to me in my ministry because they are the people that will just do nothing but pray. And there are about six or seven people that if I have a particular issue on my heart, I will go and say, I'd be very grateful if you would pray about X. And I know that they are people of absolute integrity who would never say anything to anybody about it, but I know that they will pray. And sometimes I ask them to pray for things without them even knowing what the thing is that they're praying for. And there's several other communities here. There's the Wednesday morning group, which is a lovely Holy Communion group, which we value very much, don't we? And then there's also a Thursday morning group, which meets at Putney. And these people pray for us, on behalf of us, with us, and they keep the life of the church going. And when people say to me, I can't do much these days except say my prayers, I say to them that prayer is the engine oil of this church, that nothing can happen here without us praying about it and getting our hearts and minds in alignment with God's will. We are useless without it. Without it, we would become just a commercial company, just a community centre, just a business which does prayer as a kind of sideline. It has to be at the very basis and essence of what we are about. Now, it has to be at the essence of what we are about as individuals. So what I'm going to ask you this morning, really challenge you to do this morning, is to think about how you pray. I'm sure you all do pray, but where do you pray? Do you save it for this slot in the week? Do you pray in a particular place? Do you pray at a particular time? I'm getting some nods. I pray very well in the car. I have to remember to turn Chris Moyles off the radio because otherwise I get so annoyed I can't think about anything but that. But I do tend to pray in the car because I often pray on my way to see people because without the prayer, I would mess up that conversation. I pray on my way to the crematorium. Without that prayer, I would completely goof up the funeral and perhaps hurt people without intending to. Perhaps you might pray when you're walking the dog in the morning. Perhaps you might pray when you're swimming. Perhaps you might pray when you're doing the washing up. Just try and bring to the consciousness, the front of your consciousness, the fact that you need to keep aligning yourself with God through prayer. I think very often we tend to think that prayer has to be quite a formal thing, that it has to be written by people who are better with words than we are. Perhaps we feel that other people really ought to be better at it because they're more learned or more wise, or I always think that everyone else is more holy than me, so perhaps it would be better that they wrote the prayers. But I don't think that's true. I think what we're required to do when we're praying is to be honest, to be sort of fresh and spontaneous. Perhaps if you do need other people's words, you might do worse than to just take up a hymn book and just read through what somebody else has said. I found myself, when I was choosing the hymns, looking at the Wesley hymn that we're going to sing in a few minutes, which is And Can It Be That I Can Gain? It's number 216. And as you're reading it today, as you're singing it today, then see it as this beautifully worked out piece of theology. See the prayer and thought that Charles Wesley put into it. See how he thought about it. See how he interrogates himself. And can it be that I, and you know, he's engaging with it. Perhaps that might be a way that you might, refresh your prayer life. On computers, there's a button which you click and it says refresh. And that's what we ought to be doing with our prayer life. We ought to be refreshing. If you're not making it a priority, and goodness knows you are, all of you, really busy people, but if you're not making it a priority, then you will feel the lack of it. You may feel that at the heart of what you are as a person, there's a kind of hollowness, there's a kind of a space, an emptiness, a need. And that need is prayer-shaped. It's something which you will need to get yourself back into step with God. And if you find yourself bumbling along for a week or two without speaking to God properly, then you will feel the lack of it. Maybe not immediately, but you will begin to find that your interactions with people are corroded. You will find that your manners are not quite what they want to be. And I don't mean just, you know, standing up, sitting down for people on buses or politeness, but I mean your manner, your interaction with other people will be undermined. Your language, the way that you speak, your compassion for other people. You can't have that as a Christian without constantly reminding yourself what is at the very fruit and the heart of what we're doing. And so I wish you this Easter a joyful time, because it is such a happy season, because we are truly blessed in it. And I just wish you this Easter a better prayer life. And I'm going to work at mine, and perhaps you'd work at yours. And perhaps you'd pray for me that I would be better at prayer. And I will pray for you that you will be better at it. Because what we do prayerfully, collectively, as at a church, will transform us as a community. But it will also transform us as individuals. Amen. And now somebody who is a crack prayer is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you.